So when I say we, it's me and my household. I'm saying, you know, isn't that good news kind of tongue-in-cheek? Because we're just saying, Lord, we want you as you are. We want the real you. We don't want to, and then God comes and we don't like him. Then he says something and we don't agree. Say, no, Lord. Man created God in his own image. That's how the Bible starts, ne? When God comes and works contrary to you, when he is actually real, a person who disagrees with you, and unfortunately for me and you in this relationship, we are not the one that's above. We are not the master. We are not the creator. And so while we are, I was meeting with Anis in this week, and I stopped at Pick and Pay. We were going there to a little, and then I sit and I just kind of read for a moment, and then I just start crying. I couldn't stop crying. I don't know if you saw me in the car, kind of, we're having quiet time. I said, now I was crying. I can't stop. So now the waiters are looking. I'm kind of, you know, let's not throw too big of a scene. And so you go through the ups and downs, because when God speaks, it's not as if everything, it's not as if it was bad. There's just something new. It's a moving on. I spoke to a few of you in the week, and some of the words I'm not allowed to use from the pulpit, but some of you are mad, or some of you are just this, some of you are just that, and I just want to encourage you, feel it all. There's nothing hidden. Feel it all. You've got to. It might be that God's pressing a button on something that's happened way back in your life or so, and now you've experienced, because he wants to grow us, and in order for us to grow, we've got to leave grade one behind and move on to grade two. And there's a lovely holiday in between, but hey, it's new stuff. It's, you know, and all of that. And we've got to, as a church, as individuals, we've got to learn how to transition to the next without bad-mouthing or saying whatever was behind is worse. No, it's just we're growing. But in that, there's also wonderful news that Davi and Liesl, you just maybe want to stand up for a moment. Now, they're not, Davi is not less of an elder now, but in practice, you're going to have more of him and more of Liesl together. They're coming on full time in terms of that, so they're going to have way more time. And Hannes and Mariska, if you can just stand, please, for a moment. And this is the couple that God's going to use to lead you forward. All right. It's wonderful for us. I am, I kind of in some way say Hannes was the unexpected son, if I can. Because the guys who, when we were in our Bible school, and so I always thought, a number of Carl and so that closer relationship with them, and we had influence in their lives, and then we came to Malkbos, and he's just been such a blessing. Really wanted to walk in such an honoring way towards us, the rest of the team, and to see them fly it's our joy. And Hannes, he comes and stands on your toes, and then he's saying, why are you cringing? Or say, you just buy a bull in a china shop. Say, what china shop? Kind of that. But he's grown so much, and what God has called them to do, I know. If we stay, you would be worse off. I honestly say that. I know that what is needed for you, what is needed for us, is that couple to take you on. And I want to encourage you, I want to exhort you, embrace them. Don't look down on the youth, because you will be blinded to a gift that God has for you and for us. You're going to see and hear more. Hannes is already running, and God is really supernaturally even showing him a number of things that I think, yes, Lord. The God is, it's transition. So this is probably one of my last, maybe second last, kind of as year message this morning. And you kind of think to yourself, okay, what do I say? What do I, I'm not at all Jesus or so, but you think of, Jesus, when you were at the end, what, You know, how do you say it all with you don't have much time? And I realized how Jesus used certain pictures, used certain images that can keep on speaking. He uses the image of, a tree, a fig tree. There's leaven. There's, you know, just these images that he uses to, when he's gone, we can be reminded. It can keep on speaking. And I hope that this morning's image will help us transition. Because when transition comes, it's great. It's all of it. But there is a measure of insecurity because it's changing. And we've got to find our security in God continually because He causes us to change. His mandate, His purpose is to change you and me ongoingly from glory to glory. And that glory looks like Jesus. It looks like Jesus. And so I've kind of titled it In the Hands of Your Father. I don't know what your experience of your earthly father was, is. I've got the incredible privilege this morning. 1 September, my parents have been married for 40 years today. I thought, oh, Lord, what a gift. I realized that that's the value of that I can only probably understand one day in heaven or if I lose it right now. And I know some of you have experienced the pain and the hardship of not having that. But your earthly father, how good or how bad he was, is not the heavenly father. Always greater. And so we've got to allow the Holy Spirit, we've got to allow the scriptures, we've got to allow God to reveal himself as he is. And so I've got, last time I had two titles, this morning I've got three titles. You might think that I'm getting more and more confused. So it's In the Hands of Your Father, it's the potter and the clay, or stay on the wheel. Stay on the wheel. Last time I spoke, and everyone enjoyed my misery when my wheels came off. You remember the trailer. And I've heard how you enjoyed it, and I'm feeling quite hurt because you enjoy my misery. But so the wheels came off, and today I want to encourage you, stay on the wheel. We're going to get to that now. So I've got a video clip here just to listen to that for a moment.
So God spoke to Jeremiah one day, and he said, go down to the potter's house, and I'm going to talk to you there. So Jeremiah said, so I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he brought a work on the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the potter's hands. And you know, sometimes that's how our lives feel. Something comes along in life and just totally messes up our life. I love the story of the potter and the clay because he didn't stop there. As Jeremiah was watching the potter, so he made it again. I seemed good to the potter to make it. And then God began to speak to Jeremiah. And he said, cannot I do this with you? For as clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel. God was speaking to an entire nation at that time, how they had wandered away and turned to idols and their world was falling apart. Yet God was saying to them, if you just turn over yourself to me, I can remake you again, just like the potter. If he was saying that to a whole nation, how much more could he say that to us as individuals? So let me ask you, could this clay ever fix itself? So why is it that we think that we can fix ourselves, or that we have to fix ourselves or make things right before we come back to God? When in reality, we never really can fix ourselves, not really. And all God wants us to do is just turn the mess over to Him. And just turn it over to Him. And so that He can put things back together. Because see, He's the potter. He's really good at that.
He's the potter. He's really good at that. Love it. Do want to mention as we continue, maybe in this week, we've got an opportunity. right now media that most of the Josh Jenners have access to. It's a bunch of just material that you can use to strengthen your walk in the faith. And there's one that says, The Potter, Reflections of a Master Artisan. And he just speaks about the process of that. And so I want to encourage you in this week, maybe go on Right Now Media and just go look at that for further kind of just strengthening of this message in your life. But you would note there that the lady spoke of Jeremiah 18. We're going to go into Jeremiah 18 right now. But I do want to say that this scripture in 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction on whom the end of the ages has come. And it's Paul writing there, and he's speaking about the Old Testament writings, the Old Testament accounts. He was referring to Abraham and Moses as they walked through the desert. And oftentimes we take those accounts and we apply it to our lives. Now, the prophets spoke to a specific nation. God spoke to Abraham specifically, and he had certain promises and all of that. And sometimes we just blob them onto us, you know. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace. You know, if you go read the whole context, you know, it was written to a specific nation, and there's a number of other kind of sides to that word, which we're not going to go into now. But what Paul writes, he says, listen, when you read the Old Testament, it's not less God's word. But the way that you apply it, it's not an immediate, this is what God's saying to me. You've got to ask the Lord, what is the principle? What is the example that you want to teach us? And it's revealing something of the nature of God so that we can walk in the way that He wants. Okay? And so as we go to Jeremiah 18, I want to look at God the potter as a principle, as a side of how He revealed Himself in past, but He's still that. Can we do that? All right, so we jump into Jeremiah 18. It says, The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my voice. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. Stay on the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred and in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. They had to understand that God is the maker, the potter, and they were his people. If you've got children, if you can think back to when you were little, you can maybe remember that as you look at life, you look from this point of view, and so everything is around you. If you turn, and everything that happens influences you. Pretty much, you learn that you are the center of the world, according to you. And so that causes you to do certain things so that the center can be maintained, managed, grow, preserved. You throw tantrums, you manipulate, you throw more tantrums, you do this, you do that, you know. And we learn a kind of way to maneuver through life because we need to survive and get better in some way. And so that's a very fleshly and our kind of sinful way of how we live. And if you don't want anything to be hidden, you would see that very thing, those things are there. Am I just only the only one? And it's even worse when you see it in your children, because they are like mirrors to your selfishness. I mean, there is no one, except maybe my wife too, but those relationships that are just my wife and my children that can push the button of my selfishness and then can highlight it, can magnify it. I could never be as bad like that. But yet, you in my life cause all the badness to go. And being able to deal with that and move on together gets you to probably 40 years of marriage together. Being able to handle that. And so what we need to learn in the gospel, part of the gospel is the good news that you and I are not at the center of the world. That you and I are not who it's all about. but it's about God. And we are shifted into the kingdom, out of our little kingdom, out of the kingdom of darkness, into his marvelous light. And we see, oh, he is on the throne. He is the master. He is who it's all about. And we are set right. We are justified. We are made right. And we can live as he planned us to live. Now, it would be quite hopeless if we just look at the clay and we consider this, that it was marred and spoilt. If that's where you end and you just highlight this, like, man, you are spoiled. Then we even say, what a spoiled brat. We say that. But some of you might be experiencing other kind of, that you look at yourself and there's a sense of shame. That I'm spoiled. I'm marred. Maybe you think of, okay, he made again. Plan B. This one didn't work out, but hey, let's try again. We'll give you second best. And sometimes we think like that about how God is with us. What I want you to consider is made as it seemed good to the potter. And this morning, as we consider God the potter, you have got to look away from yourself. I know it's difficult. Man, I struggle with that. But to look away from myself and look to God, like Grant this morning encouraged us, it's not a self-centered, you know, it's just looking inside. It is looking up. It's looking into the eyes of God and saying, okay, it's not about me. God, what do you want? And what he wants is good. Very good. What he makes is good. He's just too perfect. He's just too awesome. He's just too much to settle for second best. And he's at the wheel and he's busy. Now, last time I said I did not hear that much in some sense in the sabbatical time. You would think in 3 months I would hear a lot about Jesus and I would have this awesome experience. And I had some wonderful experiences, but it felt like just a few messages came through. And the one that seems so cliche, that is in some sense because of how it's been used so much, we have almost become unfamiliar or even in contempt with the scripture is, for God works all things to the good. Those who love him and are called by him. It is as much inspired, that scripture, as the rest of the scripture. And this week, and yeah, Mike and Cindy and just your family, our hearts are with you. I think just your mom passed away. And a number of us experienced some things in this week. A teacher in primary school by Van Riebeekstrand, run over by a bus. My son, Sonia's your son also, and a few of our boys are in her class. And you think, Lord, are you in control? How can you make this work together for the good? The loss or the this or the... And I'm maybe overestimating myself now, but how can you make Ruan and Ina going work to the good? How can you make change? How can you do all of these things work to the good? Surely the discomfort that I'm feeling, the pain, the heartache, all of that is not good. Oh man, if we would not look to just now, to me, but we would look at the scope of it, we'd see the good. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. You remember that story we told on Wednesday evening, for those of you who weren't there, I told 2 weeks ago, at the end, I encouraged everyone to, maybe God wants you to set up a little altar, a little point of remembrance. You know, when I had where my wheels came off, and I had a little bundle of rocks, and every time we drove past, I told the boys, that's where Jesus saved us. That's where God proved faithful. In that holiday, where I flipped, I screamed at God. I walked away and said, boys, let's go to the trees. And my son is asking, why is Jesus not helping us? At a place of where everything is at loss, God was actually saving us. And I had to put a place. I've got the photo. I've got, and I know if I drive by Malchus. The mal place. Waar God my gas gegee het. Where that place, I will maybe still see that heap. And I will know Jesus was faithful. And as I said it last 2 weeks ago, and I was praying, I said, Lord, maybe I should have one year in Melkbos. Just a memory of what the awesome things you've done and how faithful you've been. And the Lord just drops in my heart. I already did it. Slabbert's a clipper. I'm like, and for me, and I know it was way back, I know, but for me that was, Lord, you knew the end from the beginning. Lord, you knew what you were forming. Lord, you knew that this would happen. You knew. And so you just put something there to remind me that you knew from the beginning. He is the potter. We are his workmanship. His. Not ours, not your parents, not your bosses, not even your churches. We are his workmanship. And so we have this principle play out. We have Adam and Eve, and they sin. I mean, the effect of that sin plays in your life right now. And then God says, I will make you again. He promises them. He puts them out of the garden. What I love about that is God doesn't stay in the garden. He continues with them. There was a consequence. There was death. But it's as if God says, I'm not going to leave mankind because it's on the wheel. The potter's house. God's house is quite big. Man cannot build something. It's big. It says mankind remain on the wheel. We go. Abram is called out. He does all these things. And then God promises him. And he says, I don't know, you know. Maybe I should take it in my hands. And let's have Ishmael. The effect of that sin and that disobedience we still feel today. But God says, I will make you a nation. I'll call you Abraham. And he stays. I'm jumping a few patriarchs now, but we get to David. David is called by God. He's in the hands of God. I mean, he's the guy that God looks at the heart, not at the outward. And what does David look at? He looks at the outward. Bathsheba. And when everyone had to fight, David stays behind. And he takes it in his own hands. And he falls in that sense. But he repents. He's in the hand. He stays on the wheel. This thing is marred now. I can only, Lord, how do we make this kingdom work? I've just disobeyed you. And God says, I desire obedience. I don't desire just sacrifice. I desire a pure heart. I desire contriteness. Psalm 51. And he makes him a king. The best king to me. And so we have, it goes on. We come to Peter. I love Peter. I mean, Peter is the guy who walked on the water last time I spoke to you about that storm. I mean, he's the most cutting edge apostle there is. He walked over the edge. You're gonna miss my simple jokes, eh? He goes, and then Jesus says, you're going to deny me. No way. In fact, just before, as if Peter did not get the image. I mean, if the Savior would call you Satan, get behind me. I mean, you would kind of like, okay, maybe I'm not that good. Jesus is obviously, you're going to deny me. No, I'm never going to do that. So he gets to a place where he's with them, and they say, no, you were with him. Swears. That's my get out of jail card when I bump my toe. Even Peter swore. On this I will build my church. Okay, we that's false. No, I'm just So Peter comes and he's marred. I mean, he goes back fishing. He goes back to his old ways. I don't know if he, but I can just imagine I would have felt, I denied him. He said I was going to do that, and I said no, and then I did it. The kind of feeling of failure and all of that, and he goes back to his old ways. And then Jesus comes, and he's on the beach. He sees him. And he just jumps and he says, I knew. And he's not allowing the failure to cause him to go back. He jumps and he swims to Jesus. And then Jesus starts and he starts to speak to him about, do you love me? Look after my sheep. Do you love me? Look after my lambs. Do you love me? Fear. And he restores him. That the guy who was called the devil, who denied Jesus, is the first one who stands up on the day of Pentecost and say, this is that. And then, he still goes in Galatians. And the Gentiles got born again. They're eating pork. They're enjoying the liberty of... And then Peter kind of, he likes this. He's again on the edge and he's eating some pork and so... And some of the Jewish believers come and he's like, oh no, how do I do now? And he starts to kind of be... And then Paul goes and he says, you are actually denying the gospel. You are causing these to fall. Why am I saying that? Because one great Pentecost message doesn't set you up for life. He was still human. But for the grace of God, Andrew and MC will stay on course. We will stay on course. Sometimes it is we are on the edge. Really? You wonder. Stay on the wheel. Even when your wheels come off, stay on the wheel. And that God has you in his hands. He is the potter. You are the clay. He is the potter. I am the clay. And I want you to consider just a few prayers in this week as we go on that we sometimes need, and it's, first one is, Father, help me discern your hand. It's sometimes easy to see when God is forming you, and it's sometimes not that easy. Especially when he comes to you in a way that you did not create him as. You know, there's a moment, and you'll probably see if you go on that right now video clips. One of the steps in the pottery is when the lump of clay was just now kind of formed, and it's on that wheel. Then the potter starts to put water on it, and it just keeps it like this. And there are imbalances. There are sides of that clay that is out of sync with the hand, and it goes, it wobbles a bit. And so he just keeps his hand, adds water, keeps his hand, and it's quite a restrictive experience for that lump of clay. And it's called centering. Because if that clay keeps on wobbling, it can't be formed as the potter wants. But at some stage, that lump of clay is just, it's everything is spinning, but it's standing dead center kind of like that. It's spinning, but it's just like that. And it's been centered, it's yielded to the hand, and especially in the area of the restrictive hand of God, and it can stand. And then as you think it's passed, then now the potter can go and he can push his finger into the center, into the heart of the clay. Pottery is quite hard work on the hands. But as that lump of clay yield to the process, it becomes what's in the heart and in the mind of the potter. And so, Father, help me discern your hand. Father, how is this death, this joy, this breakthrough, this confusion, this retrenchment, this country seems out of whack, this, how does this shape me? How do you want to come to me in this? Because I can guarantee you that God is working it to the good of his plan. How is this? Ask the Lord. Lord, how is this shape? Don't ask him, why is this happening? You'll probably not know, or it might here and there, but first ask the how. Because the why is he wants to shape you into the image of his son. Third one is, what in me is resisting you? Because this happens. No, Lord. I mean, you're turning and it's flopping this way and that. And you are in a measure of an insecure experience and things are flinging. If the lump is really out of you, you actually see in that studio, it's pieces of clay against the wall and you know stuff like that happening because it's completely out of sync. What in me is resisting you, Lord? What is causing me to just act like this? You'll be surprised what the Holy Spirit leads you into. Might be rebellion. Might be hurt. I do want to say one thing about anger. Because sometimes we are angry. Anger is a secondary emotion. When you're angry, it means that you actually feel something else. Sad. Disappointed, ashamed, whatever. But especially if you're angry, just go a little bit deeper. And say, Lord, what is resisting in you now? And then repent. And then come before the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to yield. I think this is a good statement as a prayer. It's like, Father, I don't understand, but I want to stay in your hands. Yeah. There are some things I only really actually see afterwards. I don't understand, but I want to stay in your hands. It is communicating a heart that wants to yield. And sometimes you need to tell your heart what you want to do. You need to tell your heart what you have chosen. In a marriage, you need to tell yourself what covenant you've made. I've chosen this. Your mind is going this way. Your heart is going that way. What have you done? What have you chosen? What have you promised? What have you said? Father, I believe you're forming something good. What do you believe about what you're going through? Huh? Do you really believe it's good? I tell you, you're going to have to say it a few times. But I think this one is where you can say, fake it till you make it. You might feel fake when you say it. You might feel, but I don't really believe it. And sometimes the feeling is not the determining factor of what you believe. It is what you've chosen to believe. It's what you've said, this is what I believe. Good, bad, this is what I believe. God is forming something good. Because He is good. And He's forming us. He made us in His likeness in a physical sense. But He's forming us in His likeness. By the Spirit. And it's good. Irrespective of what message you gray. And so Lord, it's forming you as an individual. It's forming us together as a congregation, as a church, as a movement, as his wide church, if I can call it. He is forming. And the question is, are you on the wheel? Because nothing can pluck you out of His hands. That's what the Bible says. Just no one can pluck you from the Father's hands. But you can walk out. You can walk out. Now, I think personally, His hand is very, very big. So sometimes I walk and I think I've walked over the edge, but I'm still in His hand. I don't know where the edge of His hand is. I know it's very big. But I know there is the freedom to choose against His work. And there might be some little choices that you make that you go on the edge. Now, hope you remember this day. It says, Father, I believe you are forming something good. You keep on the wheel. Stay on the wheel. He is the potter. You are the clay. Let's bow our heads. Oh Lord, as we consider our place in the grand scheme of things. We just this morning want to note that we are not in the center. You are. You're the center of it. You have preeminence. You have the highest place. And as we give ourselves, Lord, I pray that you would find us in your hands. And that we, in a very real sense, experience that we are in your hands. I do ask, Lord, for some form of experience even this morning, for those that feel that you are far. Lord, that they would come, and in a deep sense, that you'd speak into their hearts. Just like you did to Jeremiah, that he saw the potter, and you spoke to him. Speak into the hearts this morning, Lord. I want to pray for people that are spoiled, marred, maybe feel just it's just the second best, or you wobbling on that wheel. I want to pray for you, but I first want to just make sure that everyone is on the wheel. And if you're sitting here and you realize, I'm not on the wheel, I'm not in God's hands, I want to pray for you. Just as a sign of, I just want you to look up to me and just kind of quickly put up your hand. I just want to agree with you. Maybe pray with you afterwards, but I want to pray with you and say, I want to get on the wheel. Amen. So, Lord, have my life in your hands. Okay. Lord, as she puts up her hand, I just want to pray that you would come and in a very real way communicate your nature to her. Pray that you would come even now and do what only you can do, Lord. In Jesus' name. And I ask if we can all stand. Honest, maybe you can come to the front and just... And a few ladies just want to maybe come and pray with us. This is the beautiful part. She's coming out of your own. Not even calling for it. But God wants you in his hand. In fact, he wants us to minister to her. So just minister to Mari there. And the rest of you, what's happening on the wheel? What's happening to your life? I know that some of you just need prayer, just maybe need to hear from the side that all the other lumps of clay saying, it's going to be okay. You might just need to hear that, or you just need to, because that is the reality of life, is that we go through it all and we're all at different stages and we can come and encourage one another. And so I want to ask, if you just need prayer as you are on the wheel and you are either completely out of sync, you're feeling things wobble out of control, you need someone to pray for you in terms of a sickness, something that's happening in your life, something that you can't get rid of, what's it that we need to stand with you for? Don't you just want to come to the front? And we're just having a... We'll have some music if we do, but that's not the main aim. We want to minister to you. So come, let's pray with you. I want to ask you to take that bold step and come stand in the front. Daryl?
Just as Ruan was sharing a little earlier, the Lord brought me back into worship earlier, and I really felt the Lord actually... kind of calling me to sing a little song in worship, which I didn't. And, I was wrestling with it, and I thought, okay, if I sing the song, will it be in line? And what's the fruit going to be of it? But that's where my faith ended. And man, just as Ruan was sharing, I really felt God say to me, you didn't see what I wanted to do through you. You just saw the thing that I was asking you to do. You didn't see past that. And man, this morning I really feel like the Lord speaking to us about bringing healing and shaping us as vessels in His hands. But I want to pray for faith for us to see past that, that what God's calling us to be poured out as drink offerings for Him as His church. And if we stop and we only see the vessel, some of us, our hearts will just accept that we are what we are. And we'll never see past that. And Lord, I pray, Father God, as your people, that our heart's desires would be to see past that, Lord Jesus. That we would long to be poured out as drink offerings for you, Lord Jesus. And that you'd give us faith to see what you've called us to, Lord Jesus. And God, I pray even for soft hearts this morning, God, that we'd be malleable in your hands, Father, that you would come and bring healing, Father, where only you can bring, Lord Jesus. Come, God. And Father, I want to say I'm sorry, Father God, for just stopping where I thought that was it, Lord, and not seeing what you're calling us to, Lord Jesus, and seeing past the moment, Lord. Come, Father.
I love the way that Ruan kept on. All his questions were, how does the Lord see this? And perspective from the Lord is critical to respond rightly to Him. And my feel is, I'm going to go close to the edge now. Will you bear with me? My feel is that there's a moment here that we're not recognizing rightly. Because to hear a good word like this, and then to go, and ponder, and then carry on like normal is very possible. But what I sense in my spirit, and my daughter actually encouraged me this morning. She came, and it's in line with this, and she said, Dad, I read my Bible this morning. And it was quite encouraging because what she's really saying is, I saw something from God's perspective. And repentance really is not about I'm wrong so much as, God, how do you see this, and how do I respond to you? And I feel there's actually a critical moment here of you recognizing your need to respond rightly on the wheel. And for you to actually ask the right questions and to work with the Lord and to be shifted. And sometimes God's just centering you and he's just, it seems like he's not doing much. And you can begin to question, you can begin to come up with your own assessments. Your thinking cannot be in line with God. But I call you this morning to come and repent and to actually respond to this word. And to actually say, Lord, there's a word going out right now. How would you want me to respond to this? And to take hold of the moment and say, okay, God, I look, come. I want you to respond. Respond to this word. Let's, as a church, really be easily moved by what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us. Come, let's do that. Who's responding? And I even want to say to our elders this morning is that all of us actually felt a shift. Could we even respond? So the way that we shift the church is even the leaders respond first. So it might be a very small thing, but you responding to what God is actually calling you to will shift the whole church. Let's go for it. Let's repent. Let's turn. Let's take this moment. Lord, let the wind of your Spirit move. I find interpreting even a trial so critical for my well-being in God. So even interpreting a difficult time, to see it from God's perspective and to respond rightly, critical. I know in my own conflict with my marriage with Lorna, if you've been married for a while, you probably know there are seasons of conflict. A crucial thing in every marriage is, can you see it through your spouse's eyes? It's the same with God. Can you see it through His eyes? And can you respond to Him? Come, I feel like there's even more. And it's part of our worship.